Now, amongst the many important marine studies going on in the world's oceans today is an initiative called TRACES, which stands for the Transatlantic Coral Ecosystem Study. It's an international effort to look at unique types of coral that live, in some cases, thousands of metres down in the ocean. Why they're important is that they represent a unique ecosystem on the ocean floor, but they also harbour a much more powerful secret, and that's because locked away inside the reefs formed by these corals is a chemical calendar, which could allow scientists to reconstruct Earth's climate over the last 2 million years. Murray Roberts is a marine biologist with the Scottish Association of Marine Science. He's been involved with setting up the TRACES project to look for these corals.
These are so-called cold water corals or deep sea corals. So these are a different animal to those that you'd find in tropical shallow water areas. They're not reliant on sunlight, not directly anyway, and they're found in deep, cold, dark waters. There are huge developments of these coral reefs off Norway, Scandinavia, and their distribution extends down off Britain and Ireland, and then right across the Atlantic with patches on the Mid-Atlantic Ridge to the American side of the Atlantic, off Florida and the Carolinas, and then around into the Gulf of Mexico even.
If they live down there, they're not photosynthetic, how do they survive?
They're surviving on the food that's produced in the surface layers of the ocean by plant plankton. So that plant plankton captures energy from the sunlight, just as plants do anywhere. Animal plankton will consume that. Some of the corals seem well adapted to take that animal plankton and eat it. They're predatory. And others seem quite well adapted to take the remains of the plants that are brought down from the surface. So there has to be a critical link between a productive layer in the ocean and a physical mechanism in the sea that gets that and transports it down with fast water currents to the seabed where the corals live.
So they're doing a pretty good and pretty important job of actually translating material which is up in the top of the ocean into biomass, material which is fixed at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, they are. And what they do in that process is lay down a skeleton. The coral forms a skeleton, and it makes a reef a framework. That forms a reef, and that's effectively an underwater city, if you like, with high-rise developments where many other species can find a niche and can find a place to live. So when we look at the numbers of species that live in these areas, they're amazingly high. And even in areas of the Atlantic that we've studied for the last 150 years, we go out to sample these areas and find many species that have never been described before.
How deep are they down then?
It depends where you are. Their distribution tracks certain types of seawater, certain characteristics of the seawater, but they can be anything from 200 metres down to 1,000 metres typically.
How big are the individual coral, I want to say, structures?
The structures they form can grow very large. So off Scandinavia, they may grow to extend up to 13 kilometres in length and grow off the sea floor several metres in height. In other places, in deeper waters, we have evidence that coral structures have grown right back through time. And so they'll grow, form a reef structure that traps sands and muds. In glacial times, the corals will die back and other kinds of sediments come in. But then corals start growing again, and this process repeats and repeats and repeats all the way back over 1.5 to 2 million years. And those structures can be hundreds of metres in height.
And Brendan Rourke, you've been working on these corals. How far back in time do they go, if we've got it right?
The carbonate structures that Murray was talking about can go back 2 million years. Individual species or individual specimens, we've shown with some of the protonaceous corals from the Pacific, have lifespans of upwards of 2,000 to 4,000 years.
Given it's that long-lived, what else can it tell us about the environment it's growing in?
Well, as Murray was talking about, the linkages from the surface ocean to the deep ocean are recorded in some of the different types of skeletons of the deep-sea corals. You have basically two different kinds of skeletons made by deep-sea corals. One is a protonaceous horn-like material, and those are the long-lived organisms typically. That skeleton can record what's going on in the surface ocean. In other words, it's deriving all of its carbon from recently exported particulate matter from the surface ocean. You contrast that with the more typical carbonate skeletons that corals deposit. Those are recording the ambient conditions of where the coral is living.
It's a bit like tree rings then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly like tree rings. Most of the corals have growth bands.
So you've got this really powerful high-resolution coral clock, which is tracking back what's going on chemically in the ocean for thousands of years. How far could you take that back, though? Because a big problem with climate change and ocean temperature models and things is that we're stuck in the near term since we've been recording things, aren't we?
By collecting dead specimens as well, we have, with the gold corals, continuous records overlapping the same way you would with tree rings going back 5,000 years. And we have a few specimens that are as old as 10,000 years.
What about on the longer time scale, though? You said these corals live thousands of years, and they may even be millions of years in terms of the time they've been growing where they are. So can you go back literally millions of years?
Yes, you can go back millions of years with the drilling in the carbonate mountains.
And Murray, how are you setting about to try and study and improve our understanding of these corals?
What we're trying to do is set up a transatlantic coral ecosystem study. And the idea here is to firstly unify the research right across the Atlantic so that we take advantage of the very exciting place we are right now after 10 or 15 years of work understanding where the habitats are and mapping them. We're able to go to places within the Atlantic Ocean and find carbonate mounds, cold water coral reefs, the kind of species that Brendan has been talking about, and sample them and bring them into a large study to look at that climate history right across the Atlantic. But also we want to tackle other questions as well. We know they're diverse ecosystems, 1,000 species just in the Northeast Atlantic, a number that keeps going up with more and more studies. But we've not yet tried to compare that diversity across the Atlantic to understand where these species are found. We haven't tried to compare right across the Atlantic how they're connected genetically. Do we have one area that is the source of the larvae that then disperse across the Atlantic, or are they growing in certain areas in isolation from one another? These are the kinds of questions you can only approach on a big scale. And also, to take the most advantage of the expensive resources that are needed for this work, we want to share that internationally. So that if, for the sake of argument, a German ship goes to sea, then we're able to take American and Canadian scientists along so they can get the samples that they need. Equally, when an American ship goes to sea, we want to see European scientists working alongside. So we get the most benefit from the investment that we're making here.
And when are we going to see a return on the investment, do you think?
The project starts now, and we have our first seagoing planned in October. We want to keep this going for 4 to 5 years. So we think that within about 3 to 4 years, we'll have our initial results. And then, of course, as with any project like this, the writing period and the analysis period will begin, and we'll see the big results coming out in about 5 years from now, we hope.
That was Murray Roberts from the Scottish Association for Marine Science and Brendan Rourke from Texas A&M University, explaining to Chris how corals are not just a sign of a healthy marine ecosystem, but they also teach us a great deal about the history of the oceans.
Stripping down science.
Okay, let's do it.
The Naked Scientists.